Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the T-Backs podcast, Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast. And today we're doing two things that are a little special. The first thing is we are recording this live in San Diego following the D-backs earning the series split against the San Diego Padres. We're coming to you 100 yards from Petco Park after we've just got back from the game. We're on 5th Street here in San Diego, where it's a little bit lively, but the mood's clearly a bit flatter following the results today. And we're also doing it without a cup of tea, because despite my best efforts, I cannot find a cup of tea in this hotel anywhere. So Marriott Courtyard Hotel, do better. Anyway, let's stop talking about tea and let's start talking about T-backs. The D-backs today had an absolutely fantastic day to earn the series splits. We just watched the D-backs kind of redeem themselves a little bit. It was a way to feel like it's a bit of a win. They earned the split today after being outscored 26-8 in the first three games of this four-game series. But they kind of earned it today. They came in with a 9-3 win against the Padres today, and they looked much better, much more comfortable today. It was effectively, you know, the D-backs bullpen game going up against Fernando Tatis Jr. and kind of Jurickson Profar carrying the Padres a bit today. And like, wow, I've got to say, first of all, what a player Tatis is. Like, he had a fantastic game. He kind of had that aura about him every time he came up to the plate. There was some really good energy that was kind of flowing off of him. It's my first time going to Petco Park, experiencing the game there. You know, it was a really great atmosphere today, and I got to praise the Padres fans for generating that. The way they got the Ha-Seong Kim chant going as well was really cool. But yeah, let's talk about the Diamondbacks. Jake the Rake McCarthy topped off a 6-run second inning with a 2-run homer to kind of just spark the D-backs win today. Scott McGuff started the game. He got roughed up really early, but the pitching staff of Tommy Henry, Joey Manaply, Kevin Ginkle, Justin Martinez, and Bryce Jarvis made it work. No Sewald today, so Bryce Jarvis came in as the closer today. He's a guy who we might be looking to go extra innings pitching pretty soon. Tommy Henry called up from AAA. He's probably going to be getting a few starts now with the injury crisis. I mean, Zach Gallen is kind of day-to-day. He's only on the 10-day IL, so he should be back pretty sharpish now. But yeah, we're going to need some more kind of good starting arms if Montgomery can't really pick it up. Brandon Fart got roughed off a little bit yesterday, so you know, we're going to need to see a bit of improvement on the starting pitching side. But Tommy Henry came in. He's a guy who's kind of been up and down. Whether or not he's a bullpen guy or a starting pitcher guy has never really been clear, but he'll probably be getting some more starts pretty soon, given the state of our starting pitching situation. But the stars today really were the hitters. The defense was okay, but the offense really made it work. I think it was only Gabby Moreno didn't get a hit today in the lineup, but it wasn't for lack of trying. He had some really long at-bats. He took 7 or 8 pitches a couple of times, but they were hitting with really no fear throughout that D-backs 9-man today. 5 players had multi-hit games. Corbin Carroll was absolutely motoring. So scored 2, hit 2, stole 2 bases, and he looked a lot more comfortable, a lot more relaxed in the batter's box. And it was good to see that from Corbin today. His body language was a lot different. He was getting his head up more. He was kind of getting his hands down the bat and barreling it out. Kevin Newman continues to be the best backup shortstop in the MLB today. Today he had 4 at-bats, 3 hits, and 1 run scored. Kind of got caught out a couple of times trying to steal in situations where you think, why are you going for that? There was one where the pitcher didn't even have to throw. He just turned off the mound and threw it back to second base and got Newman out there. But, you know, if he gets the signal, he's going. And I think we got to look on that, because Kevin Newman is not really a guy with like comparable speed to Corbin Carroll or Geraldo Perdomo. So I think that's more just a case of a bad decision on the coaching staff's point of view. But you got to start thinking about, does Kevin Newman get to stay in the lineup with Perdomo, who's scheduled to be returning this week, who's been getting towards the end of his rehab assignment? I think that is a battle for that position. And like, how do you fit them in with Blaze Alexander as well? Who do you put Blaze playing third to try and fit them in Because you've got to talk about whether or not Eugenio Suarez is really up to scratch right now. So would do you put Blaise Alexander playing third base in order to fit in them alongside one of Newman or Perdomo? Because I don't really think Newman's going to play third base, and I don't think you'd see Perdomo there. You could put one of them in at second and put Cattell as DH, but then where'd you put Jock Peterson? You know, it's really a dilemma for the D-backs right now, how to fit those bats in. So we'll have to see what Torey Lovullo goes for there. Speaking of Torey Lovullo, good to see him kind of having a chat with the D-backs fans behind the dugout today. I was one of the fans in that little small, quite vocal section of D-backs fans behind the away dugouts today. It was a really great atmosphere, great afternoon. There's such a vocal little section really getting behind the D-backs today. And I think that paid off a little bit. You got a little bit of a reaction from the players every time you're calling out to them as they're coming back from closing out an inning. So, yeah, I think Kevin Newman, he's a guy who didn't really need that G-ing up. But somebody who did was Eugenio Suarez. Let's talk about Gino. He was visibly frustrated today with a couple of times where he struck out or flew out. He had one hit, one RBI, but clearly they felt like they could have added a lot more to that D-back side today, and they just didn't really get going. And that's the thing. It reminds me a lot of kind of early season Christian Walker, who was trying to go deep every time he was at bat. He was swinging kind of wildly at a lot of things, and kind of the burden of responsibility of being the power bat in the lineup today. Clearly, I think Gino was trying to be that, and you know, Jock Peterson did okay as well, but like, neither of them were really powering the ball out as well as we know they could. But Jock did okay. Jock had a couple RBI, multi-hit game for him. Got an interesting call, trying to motor his way into third, and was just really slow. Did get caught out there at one time. And I think, again, that's poor signs being thrown up from... I don't like to have a go at Tony Perez Chica on the third base side, but sometimes that's been a little bit of a hindrance, because you know, Jock's a big dude. Trying to get him to like barrel full speed is not going to be a particularly effective tactic. But you know, he was getting the job done. Cattell Marte alleviated fears of any particular serious injury. He kind of looked stiffed up today, got scratched from the lineup yesterday, but He kind of came out a bit tender at the start of the game, but once he got warmed up, his muscles are a bit looser. Looked perfectly fine today. Had a good day at bat. Made a couple solid defensive plays. Did the job pretty well. But the player of the game, I think we have to say, is Jake the Rake McCarthy. That home run was kind of just topping off a really good game for Jake. He was running well. He was hitting well. He made the plays required of him defensively. And he looked like he was really kind of being the winner, chicken dinner kind of leader out there on the field for the Diamondbacks. So that's a positive sign. He was somebody who had been mentioned as somebody a lot of teams were sniffing around as a trade candidate. But we really got to keep hold of Jake. I think there's a bit more room for development with him. I would much rather see us trade, you know, a Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who's really been kind of flat this year, before we get rid of Jake. Jake's got room to grow. And I think, you know, a Jake McCarthy, Alec Thomas, Corbin Carroll outfield's pretty solid. So I don't think you want to go breaking that up by getting rid of, like, the only one of those three who's actually hitting well at the moment is Jake McCarthy. You don't want to go get rid of him. Even if you have people like your Drew Joneses and stuff in the prospect pipeline as well, you could maybe start fitting them in as a pinch hitter, pinch runner. If you were to trade one of that outfield, obviously Corbin's not going anywhere, and Lourdes is not kind of making the plays that he was last year. We haven't really seen very much Pena power this year, and maybe that's because he's dyed his hair to purple and yellow, not just plain purple. Maybe that's something to do with it, but I would sooner see us trade Lourdes than get rid of Jake McCarthy. Another guy who people talked about in terms of the trade rumors is the Yankees sniffing around Paul Sewald, apparently, according to the writers over at the New York Times. And, you know, we didn't see Sewald today, but he earned the save in the first game of this series. So we got to see whether or not that's something that there's any legs to. I'd like to see us, you know, kind of protect him before the trade deadline. We've had some words about some people sniffing around Brandon Fart as well, but you know, I think Brandon Fart's going to be somebody who, you know, you got to give them the money and keep developing them as a starting pitcher in that rotation. I think he's got the potential to be a number three, maybe a number two guy, kind of behind Zach Gallen if Merrill Kelly's going to be kind of whacked for a while. Obviously, Erod's still nowhere to be seen. He had a bit of a setback with that injury that he picked up right at the start of the year. So, you know, I think Fart on his day is going to be ahead of Montgomery in terms of performance, not necessarily ahead in the rotation if Torey Lovullo likes to stick with Montgomery, and he's clearly got some faith in Montgomery. I think missing spring training for him has been a really, really rough thing for him there, but maybe Fart's going to have some potential suitors approaching the trade deadline, so we've got to protect him. But I think if Erod's not coming back anytime soon, and Montgomery with a 6.8 ERA is not performing to the level we need to, maybe Brandon Fart is going to step up and be that number two guy in place of Merrill Kelly, especially with that sinker, sweeper, changeup combos that he's been really working on this year. I think that could be an interesting thing to see. But yeah, I think the praise today has to go to Jake McCarthy. His body language was good. He was kind of leading the outfield. Yeah. Clearly, Corbin's got a new best friend to do celebrations for the win out there in that outfield with that kind of turkey chicken dance thing. As Jake pulled it kind of just as he went past the dugout on it as he rounded the bases after his homer as well. So, you know, I don't know what that has to do with the snakes, but hey, if it works for him, we're happy to let them have that, and we'll see if we can carry some of that momentum. I think you got to look at the schedule now. We're back to Chase Field, back to home turf in our next six games. We've got three games at home against the Angels, followed by three games with the White Sox coming down from Chicago. So that's got to be at least, we got to look to be winning four or five of those games. Like, I mean, the Angels can really have their day, but the White Sox trying to pick up off of that record-breaking 13-game losing streak. They picked up 1-2 on the bounce. We got to look to break up some of that momentum for them. We have to say, you know, this is a team we should be beating, and then we have to go and beat them, especially after our particularly disappointing performances against the Mets earlier this week. We got to go out there and say, going to assert ourselves on that. And, of course, we've got the visit of the Angels, Mike Trout and co. coming in, Logan O'Hoppe as well. You don't really know what's going to happen there. It's somewhat of a random matchup. It's not like last year where Angels came to town and it's, you know, everyone arrived just to see Shohei Ohtani play. That's over at Dodgers Chaos Stadium now, and they're currently in the midst of a bit of a battle against the Yankees. So it's going to be a little strange seeing the Angels come to Chase Field without Shohei. But I'm plenty happy to see him not playing against us while we're going to be back there this week. And while we're on the topic of, you know, plenty happy to see things, I'd like to give a bit of a shout out today as well. Before we close out this slightly shorter than usual podcast, I'd like to give an extra little shout out to the New York Mets, who kind of scraped the tie in the London series today with an absolutely fantastic 2-3 double play off of a swinging bunt, broken bat that kind of dropped in front of home plate with bases loaded against the Phillies. Catcher picks the ball up, takes home plate to tag, to get and kind of get the force on the runner coming from third, throws it to first for the game, ending out with Pete Alonso on first. Absolutely fantastic. And I want to really say shout out to the guys from the BBC who called that final out, did an absolutely fantastic job of that. And I think it's only fitting that, you know, the London series concluded with a British commentary team on the call for that one. It's absolutely electric. If you haven't seen the clip of that on Twitter or X or Instagram or YouTube, go find that, because that's absolutely worth looking at, and it'll really kind of make your heart fly a little bit for the state of baseball in Great Britain. But yeah, that's going to wrap up this slightly shorter than usual live podcast here from San Francisco. I want to say thank you very much, as usual, for listening to the T-Backs podcast, Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast. And we will be back at the conclusion of the six games at Chase Field against the Angels and the White Sox in a week's time. Thank you very much for watching and listening, as usual, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.